It's the feel-good hit of 2021, the podcast that brings you so much more. More of this and more of that. Just more, more, more. And it's better than ever. Best of all, it's free and commercial-free. It's the news according to me. It even rhymes. With new and improved content, fortified with 27 vitamins and minerals. Or maybe not. Be sure to subscribe because you probably won't want to miss any of this. But you might. Never before has so much offered so little. It's the podcast that will leave you asking questions like, how can I get that hour of my life back? Or what on earth are these guys talking about? Where else can you find this kind of content other than 90% of the internet? We're here because you're there and not even sure what that means. Be sure to like and subscribe because you don't want to be the only one stuck in this. It's the news according to me. It's the feel-good hit of 2020.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Oh, he comes. I'm going to punch him out. This is my mom.
I would pay to see that.
I'm waiting for this, for trespassing on the trespassing grounds. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to punch him out, and I'm going to go to jail, and I'm going to be happy.
We'll all be happy, Nancy.
Are those who just try to make this a political issue. Freedom. I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID.
Individuals who are infected through breakthrough infections, namely vaccinated people who ultimately get infected, that they are generally without symptoms or minimally symptomatic. However, it is clear that they are capable of transmitting the infection to uninfected individuals. And the data that they reported indicates that if you look at the level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and has a breakthrough infection and compare that to the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person who's infected, they're essentially equivalent.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Check, check, check. Checking that radio.
I'm going to go to jail. I'm going to be happy.
Check, 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 check. Well, it looks like a big pile of schiff, but it's actually the news, according to me.
Yeehaw. Here we go.
Well, that was the wrong thing. This is live, folks. There's no do-overs in this thing, but I do have something for you this morning. So here it is. It's the news, according to me.
Oh, that was a good start to the morning. Oh, yeah, here we go. All right. Maybe I should have spent a little more time with my cup. I see we have some people walking in the building here. We have Nicholas. I can't really read it. I can't read the screen from this far away. Yeah. Hello, Nick. We have there's some other people are in that, some other places. That's just the only one I can see from this, from where I'm talking here. We are live on Podbean this morning, which I believe goes out on Spotify. Also goes out on a few other places. Probably in an elevator near you somewhere. I don't know. Got some interesting sound bites to play this morning, if I can find them. Oh, here, there it is. It's right there. I just found it. End of problems. Well, that problem. I'll be playing some sound bites later on, if I remember to turn on the mute or turn off the mute button. So we have some things going on this morning. The main thing, I know some of you, some of my loyal listeners, I know I'm late with this live show this morning. I'm very late. I was supposed to be on here. I told you yesterday, if you were listening yesterday, I told you I'd be on here, but hopefully by 9 o'clock. I was hoping to be on here actually earlier than that and have it all published by 9 o'clock. When I got up this morning, I knew that wasn't going to happen. My dogs decided that one of them needed to go out and the other one needed to tell me that the other one needed to go out, apparently. And what happens is one of them just, he barks. And when he barks, you never know if he wants to go out or if the other one wants to go out or if he thinks the other one wants to go out. Now, see, the problem is when they come back in, they get this little snack in the mornings. So they're feeling a little hungry or feeling like they need to get, it's time for their snack because they're awake and I'm not. They start getting all antsy and jumping on the bed. Well, the one jumps up on the bed, the other one just, he'll be out there and he barks. And what the problem is, you don't know if he's barking because he needs to go to the bathroom, which, you know, if you don't take care of that soon, you know what, you know the mess that's going to, that my wife's going to have to clean up. That's funny. If you knew the truth behind that one, sometimes she does. I don't make her clean it up. Sometimes I clean it up myself. Once in a great while, once or twice a year, I'll clean it up the mess. Or if she's not around, I'm worried about stepping in it. Something weird is going on with my microphone this morning. I've been trying to test this. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, it's set on the right thing, but for some reason, something happened here. The power went out here at the building, and I don't know what happened with this microphone. It retuned itself. It's got like a. If I just go back to this and put that on there, and go to advanced sounds controls, no. Controls, no, all kinds of things here happening. Audio, microphone, I don't know. I need a technician. Get a technician in here. Get the guys down from IT. Call them up there. I'm telling my producer to go. Oh, I don't have a producer. I'm by myself. Now see, I keep hearing my voice cut out, and I believe that there's a gate on this thing apparently that is way over gated. It's not letting me get through with my signal very well here. And I think I'm concerned about that because now you're only going to hear half of what I have to say, and if you only hear half of what I have to say, then you're probably better off because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I am a guy with a microphone. I'm not an epidemiologist. I had to practice that word before I said it. I'm not a life coach. I'm not a financial counselor. So I'm just giving out all this free opinion stuff that I have. The biggest opinion I have is not even an opinion. It's just a fact. So see, some things are a fact. I'm drinking some chai here in my cup. It's regular, you know, creamy vanilla chai. And the stuff I put in it this morning, I finally ran out of... the Cinnabon creamer. And I'm really not happy this morning. I got this other stuff. Let everybody make their comments. This morning I've got pumpkin spice. My wife bought me pumpkin spice creamer from, apparently it's a Starbucks creamer, I guess. It's, you know, not that I'm that impressed with anything from Starbucks. The fact that they sell ridiculous amounts of coffee, it's pretty impressive. There's always a big long line at the airports, at least where I go, that and when I see the drive-thrus in the morning. In the morning, it's ridiculous. People will line up for a half a mile at the airport. Those are people in line to get their Starbucks coffee. And I just don't get it. I don't like their chai for that much. I'll get it once in a while. In fact, their iced chai, I will get more often than even their hot chai. But sometimes I get the hankering, and I just get a hot chai. After I've eaten a big dinner, for some reason, if I eat a big meal, for some reason, I want something hot to drink. And that's they don't have good hot tea, so I just drink the hot chai. Got even more calories. It's probably pretty bad for you. But, that's not going to stop me. So I ended up putting this Starbucks creamer in my cup this morning. And I got to say, it just doesn't seem like pumpkin spice to me. Maybe it is. I don't know. It seems kind of, what's the flavor? I don't know. They have their own idea of what pumpkin spice is. Maybe it's a West Coast thing. I don't know. It's certainly not a Midwest thing because it's just different. But I digress. So I have quite a bit to do here on the show this morning. Quite a few things on my notes because I know it's going to be live, so there's no chance I can just kind of, scrap the show and start over again because this is going out live. People are hearing this as I'm speaking. It looks like there's people in the room listening, which is scary. I don't know. Not really. I don't have any kind of stage fright. A couple things on the docket today. We're going to talk a little bit about Nancy's husband and the whole thing with the drama going on there with the body cam footage from one of the officers that showed up at the place. That goes very deep. There's actually some other things going on with the body cam footage that was apparently has not been released from his initial crime that we know about of his car accident when he was driving under the influence. And we don't know who was in the car with him. There was another man in the car with him. We don't know who that was. Was it the same guy? That would be ironic, wouldn't it? I heard one guy actually ask that question, actually put that out there. Maybe it was the same guy. It might have been. It could have been. And then, of course, there's the Pelosi Act. They're putting really awesome names on all this stuff. On some of these, the pencil bill. We're going to talk about the pencil bill. Which involves Adam Schiff. Yeah. I won't get into why it's called the pencil bill. But there's the Pelosi bill and there's the pencil bill. They're being very creative. And I think in a very, let's just say it's very creative. Adam Schiff has a nickname, I guess, around the house there. His nickname is Pencil Neck. Now, what's interesting about this is that Adam has basically, he's so butthurt over this thing. Well, I'm just going to take my ball and leave. Now I've got the audio. We're going to talk a little bit about audio. And, I've told the folks before, I've told you sometimes that I've mentioned on the show before. I do voiceover work. I do a lot of stuff with voiceover. That is kind of my main job. That's my main business. I have some other sub gigs that do very well as well, but I've got this, and I do a podcast, okay? Because I make so much money at this podcast. This podcast is like a gold mine to me. It just keeps on spewing out money. I don't know what to do with all the money I make on this thing. But at least that's what I'm gonna. That's my story. Yeah, I'm still waiting for the big checks to come in. At some point, the big checks are supposed to start falling out of the sky here. I'm not sure when, but apparently. That's what happens to these guys who have big podcasts. So I'm just waiting on, Steven Crowder signed a deal he didn't even sign a deal. He just was offered a deal, because that came in loud and clear. The Steven Crowder was offered a four-year deal, $50 million. That's peanuts compared to what I make at this podcast. It's just peanuts. Something like that. Anyway, So this guy, this stuff is all going on. My real job is voiceover stuff. So I have a tendency to have a very high sensitivity to vocal things that when people talk, their voices. And I think I've kind of always had this little bit of a talent, I guess you want to call it, or sensitivity to people speaking. I have a tendency to be able to kind of, I don't know, it's, I can kind of see past what they're saying or hear past what they're saying. And you know, body language experts, and I think that there is actually expression experts. Now, I've talked about this before. I mentioned this just the other day. There's a sentence that you can say so many different ways. Everything that you say can be said, you know, there's 100 different ways to say the same thing, to say the same words. There's 100 different ways to say the same words. There's 100 different ways. There's 100 different ways to say the same words. I didn't say she stole the book. That's one way of saying it. I didn't say she stole the book. 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 You see how each one of those has a very, very, very different meaning, and it's the same words. Because there's denotation and connotation. When I hear people speak, there is a certain amount of intonation that people have and the way they say it that I'm apparently very sensitive to. And when you hear Adam Schiff go on, of all things, a Chinese website thing, app, that everyone is banning in government now because of they realize that it is spying on them, which, hello, Google's been doing for years. Where do you think they got the technology? You think they came up with this on their own? Yeah. If you're keeping Facebook open in your phone app, you know, while you're walking around doing stuff, and then you wonder why you get these ads on Facebook for things you were talking about with your friends. Or you get some kind of ads all of a sudden on Amazon. Or Google suggests things for you. Well, hello. They didn't use TikTok to get that information. Yeah. Think about that a little bit. Just take a breath and think about it. Your phone is the best thing that ever happened to the big tech marketing folks that want to make money on you and push things your direction that you're interested in to sell so they can make more money. Because, you know, they need more money. Oh, my. So we're out here with some of that stuff. Now, I want to talk a little bit about welfare, because the real underlying story in this whole thing is what Joe Biden is lying about. And the Democrats have always done this. And I can't, you know, and there's a definition of what we need to do here. Welfare and Social Security, they always come after it. They don't come after it. They come after the Republicans warning you, oh, the Republicans are going to take away your welfare. They're going to take away your social. They want to cut Social Security, Medicare. Medicaid, they won't take it. They won't take it away. They're going to cut it. And they never have. They never have. And yet the Democrats use it every time. Now Joe Biden is out there saying, well, the Republicans are trying to destroy the economy. Hello? The economy, see, they create this, they're redoing the narrative here. They're saying, well, we inherited all these problems. We inherited this inflation. We inherited these gas prices. This is because of COVID. And it's all Trump's fault because he wasn't mandating that people wear masks because, you know, as soon as we started wearing masks in this country, as soon as those mandates came out, boy, COVID went away just like that. As soon as those vaccinations came out, boy, it just went away just like, and what we were told by President Biden, by the way, he came out and said the vaccines did not exist until he got into office. He said that. another lie. Now, here's the problem with the vaccine. Everybody thought it should do what a vaccine does. Oh, we better change the definition of a vaccine. Folks, this vaccine does not do what it was supposed to do. Look, can we just acknowledge the facts on this? Now, I don't know what the vaccine apparently is, whatever they're shooting into people, apparently identifies as a vaccine. And we're supposed to just accept that. But it is not a vaccine. It does not vaccinate you. You can still get it. In fact, now, Dr. John Campbell, he's been a very level-headed individual throughout this whole process. I wasn't going to get into this today. It was not even on my notes to even talk about this. I actually wrote down a couple things to make sure I stayed on track. And I feel better about that because I just found out yesterday that Dan Bongino does the same thing. I heard him actually say it on his show because he gets distracted. That's my problem. I get distracted by myself. I distract myself. See, I've already done it. I can't remember what I was talking about. They found out, this Dr. John Campbell thing, they found out that, believe it or not, they're looking at the statistics now in some of the hospitals who are hospitalized and in intensive care. The numbers of people who are hospitalized or in intensive care who have been vaccinated are far greater than those who have been unvaccinated or those who are not have not been vaccinated. Now, here's the real numbers, and this is, I wish I could show you this chart. I wish I was on a video right now because this is a lot easier to see on the video. In many cases, we're only talking one or two people out of the 30 that are in the hospitals that they're looking at or in the intensive cares that they're looking at. And in a lot of cases, in many of the studies, the gathering of the numbers, there was no one there. Now, they know how many, the term that they use are partially, at least partially vaccinated. So they are not, many of these people aren't even fully vaccinated. So they started looking at, okay, somebody who's been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and then who's had boosters. The numbers get even more dramatic. Among those who've been fully vaccinated, there are more of them. When you get into the boosters, you get to 3 to 4 times, there are more people. This is not what we are being told. These are worldwide, international, I should say, statistics. Areas vary because of the way things were implemented and the way, the problem with this whole virus thing is, and people just don't understand, the virus doesn't just break out all over the place all at once. This was the knee-jerk reaction we had when this thing initially happened, where we had the problems. The problem was the incubation period was long enough. Now, see, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a virologist. I'm not an epidemiologist. Blah, 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 blah. Not any of those big word things. The problem with this was it had a fairly long incubation period, and it could spread like crazy during that incubation period because they couldn't contain it. They didn't even know where it was. It started popping up all over the country, and they couldn't. It's like, where is it? But there were pockets of places that it started to pop up. Well, those places were ahead of those who were less likely to get it initially. And eventually it would spread into town, you know, suburbs and off into other areas. It's just the way it spreads. It's the way things spread like that. It's a new virus that was introduced into the population. And, everybody thought, well, it's just hanging in the air out there. No, you've got to have interaction. It's got to be person-to-person interaction. So the whole thing was such a knee-jerk reaction in so many ways. Well, by the time it mutates, you know, some people weren't even exposed to it at all until the mutation to Delta had happened. So they had no natural immunity whatsoever. Now, did the initial, inoculation, if you want to call it that, the vaccine, did it help some? I believe it did. The statistics make it look like it did keep people from getting hospitalized. as much. It reduced that a lot, apparently. But ever since that initial strain, I think it actually even helped during Delta, we think. But there's some questions there. Dr. Don Campbell had some weird numbers there. He's a little bit concerned about that as well. He is not recommending anyone get boosters now. He was vaccinated early on, and he was very positive about the results. He was very happy with the results of the vaccination initially. He is not now. And the problem we're seeing now is the excess deaths. And he's gone over this several times in the last couple months. And the studies seem to be not showing a decrease in excess deaths, but increase in excess deaths. We're talking 16 to 18% across the board in 30 different countries that have been studied at this point. I wasn't even going to get into this whole COVID thing, and the show's half over. Because I want to play this thing with Adam Schiff. I'm going to shift gears real quick. I'm going to shift gears real quick here. Because we're going to something else. Well, by the way, I told you what's in my cup. I guess we got that out of the way. And I'm drinking it right now. And it's got this funky pumpkin taste. So let's talk about the pencil bill and the guy who's behind it, or the guy was named for. Adam Schiff, apparently, I'm going to play this audio real quick. And I think that you're going to find that it is, wow. Now, we'll just play it, and then I'll see what you think about it. Because I want you to listen to it without any kind of my influence into how he's saying this stuff. How he's saying. Now, it goes on a little longer. The very end of it was cut off. I picked this up off somebody else's news report. And so it's not something I heard him say directly. It was something I recorded off of him. It's off of his TikTok, but it was another news report that played it. So they only played part of it. It does go a little longer than this. The original one that I first heard, I didn't have a chance to record. So we'll let this. I don't have a TikTok account, by the way. So we'll just go from there. Here we go.
Kevin McCarthy removed me from the House Intelligence Committee, all for doing my job, holding Trump accountable, and standing up to the extreme MAGA Republicans. We knew it would be bad when the Republicans took over, but it's far worse than we expected. But I can promise you this, this is not the end of my fight for our democracy. This is just the beginning.
Okay. Now, I might play that again because I want you to hear his intonation and the things that he's saying here. Now, don't listen to the words he's saying. Listen to the way he says it. I'm going to play this again, just the first part of it.
Kevin McCarthy removed me from the House Intelligence Committee.
Okay, that's kind of one thing he says right there. Kevin McCarthy, I'm not even going to try to repeat it because I want you to just hear him on this. How would I say those words? Kevin McCarthy removed me from the House Intelligence Committee. Now, listen for a moment to the way he says it.
Kevin McCarthy removed me from the House Intelligence Committee.
Okay. Here's the next thing he says.
All for doing my job, for holding Trump accountable, and standing up to the extreme MAGA Republicans.
Notice the way he ends every one of his statements. Listen carefully to that. All you would have to do is have a little tear coming out of his eye, to have a little bit higher voice, and you would think this guy is a teenager who got sent to his room. This is a whiner. He is whining and crying about getting booted off the House Intelligence Committee. This guy was the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. And the intelligence agencies used him like a pawn. Not the other. The House Intelligence Committee is supposed to provide oversight of the intelligence agencies. They're supposed to be overseeing and basically be their boss. They are supposed to be directly reporting to Congress and be accountable to them. If somebody on this House Intelligence Committee wants something from them, they're supposed to turn it over immediately. We need to see those documents. We need to see this. We need to see that. Where'd you get this information? Adam Schiff was using that information that the intelligence agencies and former intelligence agents were feeding him to keep the narrative going that they were providing. This guy is as dirty as dirt. He's dirtier than dirt. Well, now he's all worried about being a representative anymore. Oh, he's so concerned about the country. He's so concerned about our republic, our democracy, you know, as they call it. Guess what he's going to do now? He's going to run over and take Dianne Feinstein's job. Because she's 89 years old and she's been able to hold that thing down even with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, whatever she's got. She can't function. I don't even know if anybody's seen. Have you seen her on television recently? She's been operating from her home, basically. I think they wheel her in and they basically don't. They keep the cameras off of her. She still keeps winning elections. Of course, the pictures that they show of her, the pictures they put up of her, are always pictures from, you know, when she was only 80 years old, you know, just 10 years ago. By the way, she had a Chinese spy driving for her. Her driver was a Chinese spy for over 10 years. Eric Swalwell had a relationship with a Chinese spy. Yeah. You don't think these people are a little bit of a problem? How compromised do you think they are? And we're just supposed to go, oh, well, that's okay. Well, it wasn't their fault. And yet they're all upset about not being able to be on the security committee, National Security Oversight Committee. Yeah, you got no business being on it. Congress, speaking of Congress, there's a committee now that's gone after it's called the weaponization against the people, government weaponization against people. I think it's the committee, or it's one of those committees that's been charged with going after all the stuff that happened, but you know, the conversations that went on between the FBI and NRA, and NARA, sorry, NARA, the National Archives Records Administration. What happened there with them? Did they have communication with the... Let's get into this whole document thing real quick. Well, first of all, just to finish up with Adam Schiff, be very clear. This guy he sounds like a child whining. A little child who got the ball taken away from him. They don't want him to play now, and he's all upset about it. Now, keep in mind, when the J6 committee was being formed, there were rules. The Congress had passed their own rules, stating there would be a certain number of individuals, I think it was 13, and five of those were supposed to be from the minority party. This is how the House set up this kind of an investigative committee. Nancy Pelosi decided there wouldn't be that many. There were five of them were supposed to be the minority, and the minority leader was supposed to pick those people. Well, guess what they did? They reduced it to two minority people because there were only nine on the committee. Well, that's not proportional. You reduced it by three, and the only three you took off were the three that were supposed to be Republicans. There were supposed to be five. Well, actually, they reduced it by four. So it was supposed to be 13, reduced it to nine. So it took four off. Three of those were Republicans, and one was a Democrat. So the Republicans came up with two people, their appointments to this committee. Nancy Pelosi said, no, we don't want those two because they're part of the MAGA crowd. We'll pick our own two. Thank you very much. Not give us two others. It was, we'll just pick our own two. Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. You see what happened here. Now, at least the Republicans in this whole House Intelligence Committee thing, they're not saying, we'll just go ahead and pick a couple of your Democrats over there to be on the committee. They're booting people off that did a horrible job. Mike Pompeo, by the way, He's come out and said he knows. He was the head of the national security, whatever it was, He was head of the CIA, I think, for a little while. Which again, he thinks he's going to run for president. He's setting himself up. He thinks he's going to be a president. Or he's going to run for president. I believe he's in cahoots a little bit with, who's the guy that what's his name? Just announced when he was overseas in another country and announced he's going to be running for president to try to keep Trump out of the running. Bachman was his name. He was the head of the council to the United Nations for a while. Bush appointed him. John somebody, I think. I don't know. And he's announcing his run. He thinks he's going to give Trump a run for his money. I think Mike Pompeo, I believe he's written a book now, and he's been on Fox News all the time. He's constantly in the news trying to be interviewed and trying to keep his name relevant, talking about all the things he did he's stabbing Trump in the back is what he's doing. Like if he had the opportunity to be on stage, he wants to be on a debate stage with Trump. He made that statement himself recently. So I'm pretty sure he's setting himself up for a run for president. Now, Trump will trounce these guys. There's no question who will win the nomination. I think what they're trying to do, see, the whole reason he won the nomination the first time, one of the reasons that they claim was because there were like 19 people running on the Republican side in the primaries. You know, it came down to basically two. And then it was, and you notice in Trump's administration, there wasn't a whole lot of those people running all of a sudden in the administration. Notice how that worked in Biden's situation. All the people who were running against him. People who called, like the person who called him a racist on the debate stage. I mean, just didn't use the word, but basically used every other word to describe what he was. Slammed him the worst of all of them. Kamala Harris became, oh, guess what? She's the vice president now. That's how convenient. The other guy who came out as the rogue scholar who was running against him had all kinds of bad things to say about all of them. Oh, guess what he is? Transportation secretary. Because he did such a good job as mayor of South Bend, which I'm one city over from there. One town over, I should say. It's 20 minutes away from me. I could walk there in a day, easily. In half a day. Probably safer than being on the roads that he created over there, all the stuff that he did. He's transportation secretary because he's got so much experience in that department. How many other people are working for the administration who were actually running against him? And there's all kinds of people doing things. And you got Kirby and all these other people who were part of that. By the way, they have ties. They were all tied to the Penn Biden Center and everything that was going on over there. The one guy who's now the ambassador to China was a part of the, he was assistant dean or the dean of Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania, I believe. See, somebody high up at the Pennsylvania University there then became the, how does that happen after all the donations start coming in? This stuff is dirty and corrupt to the core. I mean, the dots aren't that far apart. It's very easy to start connecting this stuff. But because we have such an inept bunch of journalists, supposedly, working for these legacy media companies who are in the tank, who, by the way, have started to turn a little bit on Karine Jean-Pierre, the French lady, apparently working for a White House. This one guy, what is his name? Simon Atleba? 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 He's from another country, and he's not beholden to anybody here in the country. He's allowed into the press room. He's flat out told her she's one of the worst. She's the worst press secretary he's ever seen. Or, you know, he's basically... That's your job, you know. He's basically just calling her right out. on the whole thing. Amazing. Now, let's shift gears again. Let's shift gears again here this morning and talk about the documents for a moment. I continue to hear people on the left and the right, pundits all over the place, saying, well, you know, they found documents at Biden's place. Well, now all of a sudden they found documents at Mike Pence's house. So this is somehow supposed to, you know, muddle up the waters now and make it possible because of the documents they found at Mar-a-Lago. No, they didn't find documents at Mar-a-Lago. Everybody knew the documents were there. The documents weren't recklessly misplaced or put in a place where they weren't supposed to be. He locked them in a place where that the FBI approved and put another lock on the door. A place where the Secret Service resides whenever he's there. They knew the documents were there. They didn't know the documents were hanging around in four or five different locations in Joe Biden's house, out in his garage, all the other places. Now, do I care about what was in the documents? Not really. Other than, here's what I care about. What was he using them for? Who was using them and what were they using them for? Was it Joe getting them for his son? Was it his son that found them and took them out of his briefcase? Did Joe know that Hunter was getting these documents? I would imagine he did. The fact that he had some that were from his time in the Senate, senators now are all upset about that because they realize, hey, okay. Now, there's also this rumor going around that supposedly vice presidents have the ability to declassify information because of what something an executive order that Obama signed during his series there. It's untrue. It's not true at all. We have something called the Constitution. It goes beyond what this executive order stated. You can't just make an executive order that goes against the Constitution. And that's been ruled unconstitutional already. So that whole myth has gone away, even though they try to keep bringing that up. So we have this major problem here with Joe, because Joe, at some point, somewhere along the line, he broke the law, whether he meant to or not. Did I accidentally put that document in my pocket and forgot that it was there? I went to read it, and I put it in my pocket, or I put it, you know, it got shuffled around this big desk where I was reading all these papers in this skiff, and it got shuffled into my briefcase somehow, and then ended up in my son's hands somehow, who happened to be going along with me somehow on Air Force Two, somehow to China. Now, there's another bill, the Pelosi bill, by the way. Speaking of traveling, does anybody ever wonder why all of a sudden Nancy Pelosi needed to go to Taiwan right before the elections? Why all of a sudden was she having to go? Now it's going to cause all kinds of problems. Well, she should be able to go wherever she wants. It became this real big issue, and China got all upset about it. I actually talked to someone from Taiwan recently, and he said since Nancy has been there, the whole thing has changed. It is worse than it's ever been. He said his family is very concerned. Now, he lives here now in the States. He's a resident here in the States, but he still has a lot of family there. His parents and most of his relatives are there. He said we're not getting the real story on the ground over there. And he said her visit did nothing to help their situation. It made it worse. Why did she go there? Oh, by the way, she had a meeting with someone who was involved in making chips over there. Happened to be a company that her husband is heavily invested in. Gee. So now the bill that's going out there is this bill with to make it, I guess, or they're restricted or it's illegal. I'm not sure exactly how. I understand it's going to be not going to be allowed. People in Congress are not going to be allowed to trade stocks other than a mutual fund. But they can't trade stocks like they can. Now, of course, passing this information off to your husband or your wife to do their trading, that's a problem too. Hopefully that's part of this legislation. I don't know that it is. I haven't actually read it. I'm sure they haven't either. Because, you know, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. I got that soundbite here somewhere. I don't know where it's at. I'll see if I can find it here real quick. Yeah, it's probably right here. It's probably... That's got to be here somewhere. Where'd it go? Pushing my buttons. You're pushing my buttons. It's not even working now. Pushing buttons and it's not doing anything. What just happened here? There we go. No, it's not there. Yeah, it's probably not there. Oh, well. Used to have it. Don't know what happened to it. Yeah, it's not there. That's all Joe stuff. Yeah. Yeah, here it is, right here. It's not playing. I don't know why. Yeah, can't hear it at all. Oh, I know why, because I got the volume down. That's probably why.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy. That's why we have to pass the bill. So this whole thing with the pencil bill as well. So that's all part of some of the stuff that's going on. Just a whole lot of questions about all this. And the comparison between what is going on. See, the problem that they've gotten themselves into here, let me just spell this out with this whole document thing. This is what's confusing and the mystery behind this whole thing for me. They come out and make this huge, big deal about Trump having classified documents that he was completely had access to during his time as president. He's the executive. All of the security and intelligence agencies fall under the executive branch. He could have walked into any room and fired anybody. Anybody. They were all under his direction. I was going to a church one time, and I was it was a member there, and I was also on staff for a while. And I've always been one to kind of pay attention to church government a little bit, so like how they have how they govern their church, and like who's in charge, how are they accountable? Big thing is accountability. Because that's really among the leadership in any organization, there always has to be accountability of some kind. Now, if I own a business and I fully own it, I'm the one who's accountable for everything. I can be sued for something my employee does. Therefore, I'm the one accountable, and you better listen to me, and I can walk into any meeting anytime and fire anybody in that room. That's fine, because I'm the one accountable. If I'm not accountable for what that person does, then that puts a little different spin on it. Puts a little bit different of an edge on that thing. He's accountable to someone else, or he's accountable to whoever is accountable for whatever he does. This pastor of this church could walk into any meeting, any room, anytime he wanted to, anybody who was on staff, even volunteers, and kick them off of that team. He could boot them out at any time he wanted to. He could fire them at any time he wanted to. But nobody could fire him. There was no one in the church. There wasn't a board. There wasn't a group. Nothing. None of them could fire him. So I ended up going to, after I left there, after I resigned, and went and we decided to go somewhere else. We went visiting around a lot of different churches, and of course, they always have these about once a month. Each churches usually have this little thing where you can stay afterwards and find out more about the church and ask questions about what's going on here. So, of course, I went to this meeting, and everybody was asking all kinds of questions, like, "Oh, what do you do here? What do you do there? What kind of groups do you have?" And, all the general stuff about what's available. I kind of sheepishly raised my hand, knowing that I wasn't going to be asking any popular questions. I know this was going to be an uncomfortable conversation for everybody involved, mostly for them. So I said, let me just ask you a couple of questions about the church government here. So who is the person who's fully in charge? Well, that would be the founder, so-and-so. Okay, how does, what kind of groups does he report to, or what kind of teams work with him? Who's the team that's around him? Does he have like a board that he, under him, or a group of elders? There's a group of elders, blah, 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 and they have meetings every whatever. Okay. So can he, I said, who decides who the elders are? Well, that's, they're all picked by the elder team as well as the pastoral care oversight team. The pastoral oversight team is, well, that's the group of pastors. So that's the, that's him and the other pastors. So there's like three pastors. So it's a, like a worship pastor, and then there's like a pastor over something else. And then, but he was the lead pastor. So, okay. So who can, I said, who decides who those other pastors are? Well, the lead pastor puts those people in place and they're approved by the board. So who can, who picks who's going to be on the board? Well, the pastoral oversight team. Okay, well, who picks who's going to be the pastors? The pastoral oversight team, and you know, they're kind of, it's a balance of powers there. So, okay, can the pastor fire any of those people at any time? Can he walk up to a board member and say, you got to go? What if he does? What if he says that? Yes, he can. Okay, and who can fire him? Well, nobody. Okay, thank you. That's all I wanted to know. And that's not saying I will or will not go there. It's not saying that I will attend. It's not saying I won't attend. But I want to know going in what kind of leadership they've got going on there. And I'm not saying that one form is better than another, but it has to work. And I'm not saying God sets it up in every church the same way. But being upfront about it, I think, is the having the transparency to say, look, this person's in charge of this church. He's accountable for everything. He's taking the responsibility for it. Nobody can fire him. He can step down or the people can leave. You can walk out the door and not attend anymore because of the pastor there. Because, you know, if people don't, you vote basically with your attendance at that point. That's all I needed to know. I needed to know that going in. By the way, we didn't go to that church anymore. We still visit. We still, you know, I still am actively and friends with many people who go there. I don't have a problem with that. But you need to know, you need to be upfront and not be, you know, deceptive about what you're doing there. Making it look like it's this wonderful, you know, situation where everybody's accountable and all this stuff. It's just, that's not the way it works. So, and that's what we have in our government right now. We don't have accountability. We don't have anybody being actively involved in holding other people accountable. I believe what we're seeing right now with this, with the Republican Party, with the House, is that we are seeing some of that actually happen. And I'm kind of surprised. Now, I'm kind of wondering if something happened during the whole negotiation with Gates and some of the others during the MAGA, supposedly ultra-MAGA crowd that we get told by Biden and by Schiff, oh, it's worse than we thought it would ever be. It's worse than we thought it would be. We have to try to defend our democracy. You're trying to defend your power struggle, your grip on power is what you're trying to defend. Biden comes out and says, oh, this MAGA crowd, they're trying to destroy our economy. Yeah, okay, Joe. That's what they want to do. They're going to cut your Social Security, welfare, Medicare. Medicaid. Yeah, that's what they've always done. That's what they've always done. You keep saying they're going to do it, and they never do it. Now, in my perfect world, I would love to see a country where we could get rid of welfare. We could get rid of Medicaid and Social Security. You know what that's going to take? It's not going to take more government spending. It's not going to take a bigger program. It's going to take a better economy where everybody can make a decent living in what they're doing, has enough income to take care of themselves. They can be productive and they can enjoy the fruits of their labor. We're going into this whole thing now where they're talking about a consumption tax. Now, I heard some Democrats say it's a 30% sales tax. That is not what they're doing here. They're relating that to what the current income tax is. Well, you're going to have to pay a 30% sales tax. Because right now you pay 30%, you know, what you don't pay a 30% income tax, by the way. And that's just on the people who pay for income. There are a lot of people working who don't pay federal income tax. They pay zero for federal income tax, by the way. Because they don't make enough to qualify to pay the federal income tax. I think it's only 17%, 7%, whatever it is. I should look that up right now. I'm going to look it up even as we speak here. I'm going to look up current federal income tax. Current federal, and of course it's progressive. It's on a progressive deal, so tax rate. Let's see what we got here. Let's see what happens. Tax brackets and rates. Know your tax bracket. See where I'm at in this thing. I'll probably cry after I see this. Oh, yeah, so you got to fill out this little thing here. It's a TurboTax thing. 2022, enter your tax year filings. Single, whatever. Your 2022 marginal tax rate. Let's see what we can find here. All right, let's say you make $40,000 a year. It's like 12% if you're at $40,000 a year. You pay 12% tax. 10% is the lowest, I guess. Let's see here. Let's go with $100,000. Is that 1,000? There's 300,000. Let's take one of those zeros off of there. Yeah, it goes up 24%. If you make $100,000 a year, you're at 24%. Now, I happen to know how much I'm going to be making this year. My rate is going to be 35%. And of course, if you get up to $400,000, it's 35% still. However, if you go to $401,000, oops, doesn't delete that. Why wasn't it not deleting that? $401,000. Still 35%. My understanding was if you made over 400,000, it was going to go up. I guess 35% is the highest max now. They're trying to get that to read. Now think about that. 35% of what you make is just you won't see it. It's absolutely ridiculous. So for every 100,000 you make, you're losing $35,000. If you're single. Now, married filing jointly. Still 35%. I think it actually helps if you do that, if you're making a whole lot of money. Oh, here it is down here below. So from zero to $10,000, you're getting 10%, basically, 10%. If you are $10,000 to $41,000, 12%. From $41,000 to $89,000, 22%. From $89,000 to $170,000 is 24%, $170,000 to $215,000, 32%, and then it goes up to 35%, the max bracket. Now, if you make over $539,000, there it is, for $539,000 in a year, it's 37%. Now, with the rate of inflation, what's going on right now with some of the wages that we're seeing, the $300,000 is not that far out of range. If you've got a family of four, you're comfortable with $300,000, but you're only going to get 65% of that. When you take that 35% off the top, let's just look at it for a second here. I'm not an accountant. I've just got a calculator on my computer here. 300,000 times, what do we got here? We take that times 0.35. Yeah, we have 0.32. Okay, 0.32. That's going to leave us with about $96,000 taken out of our bank account there. So 300,000 minus 96. You're going to end up with $200,000 in your pocket. You know, that's not that much, folks. Especially depending on where you live in the country. Now, if you're in a very low cost of living area, you're going to be fine. You're going to be comfortable. You can make it every year. If you're trying to save money, you're trying to go on a vacation, you're trying to do anything with a family of four, so six people, or just a total family of four, so a husband, a wife, and two kids. Good luck. I mean, you're not going to be poor, but you're not rich with that at all. You're not going out. I mean, you might be able to save up enough money to pay cash for a car. Hopefully you're doing that. That's enough money to make to live within your means and to save up some money and to live properly. That's enough. But it used to be $50,000 was enough. $50,000 or $60,000 was quite a bit of money just 20 years ago. What has happened here? It's become ridiculous. But, you know, I digress. Folks, I know it's been a little bit of a long show today. It's been live, which is, you know, it's always good to have a live show that's long. It's not a problem. I do appreciate those of you who've taken the time to listen, taken the time to like and subscribe and share the video this morning. I know that it's, you know, whether you're busy doing something else during the day or whatever you're doing, I do appreciate the fact that you're taking the time to listen to my opinions and taking time to care about our country enough that you care enough to listen to something like this. I know there's a lot of options out there for people to listen to things, and it's here we are on a Friday, Shabbat Shalom, by the way, as we enter into the weekend, as we enter into time with family, hopefully, and just being able to recoup and enjoy life for a weekend, hopefully, for most of you. I have to work on Sunday, Monday. I'll be in Allentown, Pennsylvania on Sunday evening, by the way. And I'll be back for the most of the week next week. And I believe every day except for Monday, I should be able to have a show. And again, live show on Friday. So thanks, folks, for being with us. God bless. Have a great weekend.